there, this is Seth Juarez with Channel 9 at Microsoft, and I am indulging in a guilty pleasure. I went to the University of Utah, graduated in 2008 with a master's degree, and I was actually his TA. Robert Kessler, it was pretty cool.
It was okay.
So tell us, what are you guys doing and why are you guys at GDC? We'll start with you.
So I'm head of the Entertainment Arts and Engineering program at the University of Utah.
Wow, man, you've like grown up since I left.
Yeah,
my goodness.
Roger, what do you do?
I mostly do what you tell me to do. But here at GDC, we're here showing student games. We're here getting students connected with industry. And we're sort of making new collaborations, the new exciting opportunities with the folks in Oculus, the folks in Microsoft, with all the fun toys that are here.
That's awesome. So when I was at TA, we did software practice, and we started with XNA to put games on Xbox because we wanted students to want to do their assignments. And that sort of blossomed. Tell me a little bit about the history of how that blossomed at EA.
So what happened was is that there's kind of two interesting threads in that. One is that after we did that XNA class, I visited Microsoft and they had a faculty summit, and I learned about this strange little company called Valve Software.
Okay.
And they made Half-Life 2.
Right.
And they offered a deal at that time for $10, you could get access to their entire source code engine. 500,000 lines of C++.
Jeez.
And so teaching software engineering students to actually try to get their heads around a piece of software that they can't understand everything.
Right.
It's great practice to learn software engineering, right? Debugging, performance improvement, that kind of stuff. So that was when I ended up talking with an alumni of ours, and he said, you know what? We want to hire your students, computer science students. We want to hire art students, but we don't hire you guys because they don't know how to work together.
Interesting.
Artists and engineers need to know how to work together.
Right.
So that's when we said, you know what? I think we can solve that. That's when I met Roger.
Okay.
He was taking a class of mine, and also through some contacts, I had another student of mine. The three of us got together. We started talking to companies. We talked to Microsoft. We talked to Disney. And they all said the same thing. Artists and engineers need to work together. So that our undergrad program was created along those lines.
So tell us about this working with the artists and the technical people. What do you guys do to foster that communication?
Well, there's a lot of things that we do. We make our engineers take a couple of art classes, knowing that they're not going to become artists, but to learn that culture of critique and art.
Right.
We make our artists take a couple of engineering classes.
That's amazing.
Knowing that they're not going to become programmers, but learning that, you know, process is important and code is important. And then Microsoft actually helped us out with one of the most important things that we do. So we have a year-long senior capstone project.
Okay.
They work on very large teams of about 15. And the requirement is they actually have to publish a game.
That's amazing.
Right? And for a long time, we published on Xbox Live Indie Arcade. So Microsoft was kind enough to give us a grant of software money, 20 Xboxes.
Oh, nice.
Right, and that allowed us to create a process where the students weren't just making software for a professor. They were making software that was going to be released to the public, which, as you know, is a whole nother tier.
Yeah.
And that's what really set us apart, was our students were work ready, and they knew how to make real games because they already had by the
time
they
graduated. So by the time they're graduated, they literally could say, yeah, we've already published a game.
Exactly.
Play my game on Xbox.
Yeah.
Exactly. It changes when they go out for an interview, it changes that conversation, right? Instead of trying to decide whether you have the skills, well, you've proven you have the skills,
right?
But now what we're doing is we're talking about what was your experience on that? What did you actually do? What worked, what didn't work?
Right.
And you know, right now we're the number two program in the country.
That's amazing.
Or actually the world, I think, at the latest ranks. But anyways, I can sincerely say that Microsoft helped get us there.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Because you guys donated that hardware and enabled us to build this kind of culture at Utah. So
I think the cool thing was when I was there, I remember like in the computer lab, there's like the computers, you know, and there was like a rack of Xboxes.
Yeah.
And when I was a TA, it was like pretty exciting for me to watch someone, like the first time I graded their Pong assignment or something, and I was like, I forgot I was playing a student's game for a little bit, and then it would glitch, and I'd be like, this game is cheating. I'm like, oh no, I gotta take some points off. I made a mistake here, right? And so it was actually pretty cool. So tell me about some of the titles that you guys have released. I've heard you've won some awards.
Oh yeah, for sure. So last year, Cyber Heist was an IGF student showcase finalist here. And in fact, tonight, For Foresight, one of our student games, is going to be featured at the Intel competition. So we've had games doing great things. We've also got games for kids fighting cancer. We've got medical games and apps. Our students are making fantastic entertainment games. And we've had games win Editor's Choice Awards on Windows Mobile. We've got a slew of them out there. Our kids are doing great stuff.
So how many students do you guys have, and like, how does someone find out more about the EAE program?
So as far as undergrad students, we currently have roughly 400 students. And what they do is they major in either computer science or film and media arts at the U, and then they do their track is in games, and they take games classes all the way from their freshman year through their senior year. So there's roughly 400 of the 800 total students between those two departments. Our master's program has 110 students in it. It's a cohort base. Students get admitted in the fall, and then they go together for 2 years. And if they want to know more, just go to our website, eae.utah.edu.
Excellent.
And the best thing they can do to help themselves get entrance, because it is a competitive program, is to make a game.
Right.
Where there's nothing better to do while you're in high school or while you're an undergraduate than to get a hold of that software or to learn how to program
right. And
make a game. And there's enough tools out there that there's no reason that anyone on anywhere in experience couldn't get started doing that.
Let's just say one of our developers is watching and they're like, hey, I wanna get started. How do they get started? What are some tools that you would suggest get started?
So for just beginning game. So some of the simpler tools, Game Maker is probably one of the best.
Game Maker, Unity, and Unreal are now freely available to people.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they can make great games.
Just announced now.
Yeah, right. It's unbelievable. Right. Yeah, that was a big announcement here at GDC, right?
Right.
So that's some exciting tools that they can use. And then there's even easier tools like Game Salad. And then there's things like, what is the one that MIT released? Scratch. For people who want to learn
how
to
program. My daughter does that in school, actually.
Right.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, Scratch is really a great way to learn object-oriented programming and a lot of fun.
And what's nice about those is you can actually go through in different levels, right? You can start off with something simple like Game Salad or Scratch, work your way into Game Maker, go into Unity, and then if you want to get into the real big boy, you go to Unreal, which actually has C++ on the inside, and you can do graphic version of C++ with their blueprint language, or you can code in C++, and you can see Unity, you can do C#. I mean, lots of different choices as far as languages.
That's cool. So let's take a step back. People do not realize this, but the whole notion of really good graphics started at the University of Utah.
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about the history of games at the University of Utah.
So there's a lot of interesting things, but probably the most important thing is in the 60s, Dave Evans was the founder of the computer science department at the University of Utah. And he was working with this guy, Ivan Sutherland, at one of the national funding agencies. They gave Sutherland gave Dave a whole bunch of money. They assembled all these graduate students, and they started creating amazing things. For example, Ed Catmull, who is currently president of Disney and Pixar Animation, he is the first person to invent the idea of textures, right? So if you have a shape and you put a texture on top of it, he's the one that invented that.
That's like really important.
That's like really important.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's how you go from cubes to interesting things, right?
Exactly. And then John Warnock, who founded Adobe and PostScript and PDF and all that, he's the one that did the idea of two surfaces in front of each other and one being behind it and having hidden surface removal.
Right.
And if you just go back into the history in the 60s and early 70s, there are researchers and grad students at Utah that created the fundamental things that are used in everything that you see in this building.
I tell you something really exciting for people to Bing is to look for the Sword of Damocles, and they'll see virtual reality headsets from the 60s, goggles, looking around in 3D space.
That's
It'll
awesome.
Blow their mind.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
One of the cool things is that there was a lot of pioneering work done with shading and ray tracing as well at the University of Utah.
Exactly.
Like that teapot that everyone knows.
The Utah teapot.
And then, you know, as far as games go, so there's all the graphics work. And then Nolan Bushnell was a student at University of Utah. He graduated there. And then he went off and founded Atari, right? And some of his early students were Wozniak and Jobs. And so, you know, it's pretty much Utah's everything.
Yeah, we're not biased.
A little biased.
Is there any advice you have in parting to some of the developers watching?
You know, I think the biggest thing to me about games is that you just got to get in there and make games and have fun doing it, don't you think?
I think that's true. I think for young developers, get out there and make games. I think for more experienced developers, there are a lot of opportunities for universities to solve those difficult problems, both in terms of research and development, as well as a pipeline for talent. So we're seeing a lot more collaboration between industries and schools, and it's only going to get better.
All right. Well, thanks so much for watching. We'll probably look at some of these games in a little bit, and we'll see you next time. All right. We're here with Kyle. Tell us a little bit about your game.
All right. So this is Melter Man. This is our senior capstone game at the University of Utah. I'm lead designer on this. In Melter Man, there's a toy factory that's been taken over by evil toys.
Uh-oh.
And you as Melter Man are going to go in there. You're going to melt their cute, cuddly faces, vacuum them up, and shoot them out to rebuild the environment. So we're going to skip a little further into the game here to show you some cool stuff.
Cool.
Right? So anything with a blue border, I can melt. So I have this little melter cone here. And if I touch it, they'll turn to goo here. And we got some physics associated with it. And then I can vacuum up this goo, and you can see here that I can store it up in there. And so anything that I've vacuumed up now, this says no bueno, there's spikes here.
Yeah.
And spikes, if you hit spikes, you're going to die.
Generally,
right?
I mean, for me too, yeah.
Generally bad.
I
right?
avoided some spikes this morning.
That is correct. In fact, I don't know if you avoided spikes, but
right.
But now, if I hit right bumper, I can reshoot out what I've melted in brick form. And if I don't like what I did, I can thoroughly just melt it, vacuum it back up, and try over again here.
That's cool.
So we'll do some nifty little platforming here. And here's a kind of an area that you could solve a whole bunch of different ways. So I can come through here, I can carve through here, I can melt all this stuff, get all the goodness. But this is red goo, and red goo will melt any other goo that it comes in contact
with.
Oh,
no.
So if you accidentally hit a red piece here, it's going to turn everything into red. And then if I touch red, I'm gonna overheat. But I can melt and vacuum up red. And you see my screen's going to turn red here a little bit. As long as I get it all out before then, I'm not going to die here. So one other way you can do this is if you want to jump up here, melt, and then I can use air to actually push goo around. So I don't want to let this red goo touch me. I don't want to heat up.
Right.
And we'll put it in this pit here. And now I have a fairly easy path on up here that I can melt everything, suck it up.
This is so interesting.
And there's some ducks here. Because they're bad ducks, so screw the ducks. We're going to kill the ducks.
That's right.
And then we're going to vacuum up their yummy toy remains. We're going to hit a checkpoint here. And I'm gonna die just to show you that A, our checkpoints work, but B, we have enemies. So these are present bombs, and if they touch you, you're gonna explode.
Right.
And you got some little cool goo physics here. And I actually died so that I could come back here and melt all the duckies again, because I just like melting the ducks.
So how long did it take to make this game?
We started in September, and we have to, for as part of our program at the University of Utah, the EAE program, we actually have to publish a game in order to graduate.
Oh my goodness.
We have two semesters in order to do this. So this is in Unity. I'm going to shoot this guy here, and I'll answer that question a little bit more fully in a second here. But one cool thing you can do with red is you can actually explode bombs here.
Nice.
So what I'm going to do is there's going to be a bunch of bombs coming down here, and I'm just going to get a big old wave of goo coming up here.
It's EAE, capital EAE.
And we got a big huge wall. No big deal. We'll just we'll do that. However, I just wanted to show you one other thing that you could do was, let me go get some more goo here real quick here. And this is about at the end of the level. But we're trying to give players different ways that you can solve stuff. So if you happen to have a whole bunch of goo here, like I've got 471 now and counting, I didn't even have to go through all this stuff. I could just sit and shoot and just build a gigantic bridge over all the enemies. And let's just pretend there were still enemies down there that I didn't nuke them all. But I don't even have to touch the ground. I just build a bridge over
hilarious.
Everything. And so players can solve stuff in a bunch of different ways. So we have enemies, but there's no right way to do it.
Got it.
I'm gonna go to the credits here, and this is our last level. There's no white goo in here at all, so you have to use red.
Okay,
and to get it out here. What happens in Red, if I just wait long enough here, I will explode. Right. So anyway, you interact with Red, whether it's by vacuuming it up, touching it, whatever, you're going to heat up. So it interacts the exact same way. But we have enemies in the game, but we don't actually have a gun, right? You can melt stuff, you can vacuum it up, you can shoot it out, or you can push it around with air. And how you want to deal with this stuff, you have to do it creatively. You can't just go up to it and just hit it with some buckshot.
So when is this going to get published?
This should be published, hopefully, if everything goes well. It has to, in the next 2 months sometime here. So cool. This is our beta build. You can go to melterman.com and download this entire thing. We've got 10 levels here and credits, and we actually have a little sandbox level here that you can just go and totally destroy your computer if you want to and spawn all kinds of goo here. And just for a plug for everyone that made it, these are our little meltable credits so you can melt our names here. Little plug for everyone that's here. I'm Kyle, so we're going to melt me.
Nice. Any advice for people that want to make games?
So in order to make games, you're going to have to kind of work outside the box, even if you go to a school to make games.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that you're just going to have to be a self-starter, right?
Right.
They're not going to, we're the number one, now we're number two, hopefully we'll be number one again, Game Design School of the Nation, but even still, there's still a lot of stuff where you've got to be able to go on the internet or look at how to do stuff, and it's a learning process. It's not just one thing that making sure that the program works. It's making sure that it works like what you want it to do.
Right. Right?
So it's really cool. It's rewarding for me because you have to deal with technical people and you have to deal with artists and you have to deal with people that don't speak either of those languages.
Right.
And you have to talk with all of them. Right. So interpersonal skills will go a long way as well. So.
Well, awesome. Well, Kyle, thanks for spending time with us. We'll see you next time, and hopefully we'll download Melty Man and have a play at it.
Yep, meltyman.com. Thanks
Cheers.
Very much.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks.